webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Thursday, the 15th of June, 2017, broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought, visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum. But right now, from Palm Beach Gardens in Florida, bringing you more consistent, persistent, and repetitive CPR of the gospel, is that president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Mr. Michael. How are you?
Hello, Mr. Bartlett. I am doing wonderful. Life is going on. How about your day?
Mate, my day is up and down. I was working out in the yard a few days ago, about 4 or 5 days ago, and I don't know if you can see those little injuries there. That's all up and down my inside and outside arm. That's just three of about, that you can see on either side there, of about 50 ant bites.
Goodness.
And they were black ants. I don't know, how on earth did I get the impression that fire ants are red? Where did that... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the name would kind of be deceiving, but fire ant comes, their name comes from the way it feels when they bite you, not what their color is.
Oh, heck. Yeah, well, apparently. mate, I was up to my elbows in ants, and well, it was actually up to my wrists in ants, but the poison, what it does is it shows up red in your skin. And it went all the way up to my elbows, and I tell you, I couldn't stop scratching for 4 days, five days.
My goodness.
It was horrible. But I now know what fire ants are.
Exactly. Welcome to America, Don.
All right. Well, this week we had a little bit of this and a little bit of that come in. I want to start off by saying that if you're a registered Amazon user... that means probably you're a Prime user or maybe not just a regular user. I'm a Prime member, and I find that the $100 I spend on Prime is well worth it when it comes down to the free movies, the free books, the all the Kindle stuff. It's a great deal. I know it's only $2 a week when you think about it. But if you're a registered Amazon user, then Amazon will donate to Mike Williams Ministries 0.5% of everything you buy from them. Now, that is a good deal. And it ain't going to cost you anything more. Nothing more. It'll be the same price as you would have paid, same delivery as you would have had, and so nothing else will change for you, except that now you will be an active participant in the Gospel Revolution without spending one extra cent.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me. Pretty neat, huh? And we have set that up. And here's how you do it. You do it by going to www.gospelrevolution.com, going over to the donate button, click down there, you'll see Amazon, and just click on that, and that will. I've got the pictures, I've got the explanation, I've got everything you need to know up there, and just go. Just go do it, because every penny that we get into our coffers, it's just getting the gospel out.
Don, I wanted to thank you for setting all of that up. I didn't know it existed. I had seen a couple of times, you know, do you have a charitable organization or donation? Do you want to set this up to donate to some group? And, you know, I also am a Prime user, and I know how to get in, get out, get what I want, and it's done. That's what I love about using it. But once you've made this simple click, as Don was explaining to you, you don't have to do anything different again. You can get in and out just like you always did. So, make sure you go ahead and set this up. I shop very rarely at a brick and mortar anymore. I'll stop and think, well, okay, so what do I need? at the house. And I'm telling you, even things that I might pick up at the grocery store, it's like, I'm, you know how many times I forget what I went to the grocery store for? And with my Prime account, usually my deliveries are all free. So I just click on it, and goodness gracious, hot drink cups. I'm sitting here looking at them now. I got those from Amazon, and I could have made a contribution to the ministry for buying my hot drink cups.
How about that? And the only change you end up making is instead of logging into www.amazon.com, you log into www.amazonsmile.com. That's it. That's the only thing you got to do. At this end, you may get a message in the early days saying, we're setting this up with Mike Williams. That's because it takes a moment. They need things like our EIN number, our IRS number, and yada, yada, yada. So everything you buy from today on, a portion of it will go to support Michael Williams Ministries and the Gospel Revolution.
Yes.
Now, I got a Facebook message from Pat Rouse-Salonen. And she said, hi, Beres, just finished listening to this week's webcast. That's last week's. For those of you family who are confused by my two names, my name is Donald Allen Beresford Bartlett, and some people call me Beres and may until I die, and other people call me Don. And what I've done is I've just moved back to using my regular first name in most communications. So she says, hi, Beres, just finished listening to this week's webcast. Wanted to tell you that I've got a tape of Mike at Higher Dimensions with Carlton Pearson introducing him as a great teacher. Now, you'll remember that last week we were talking about how Carlton Pearson appears now to be denying that he's ever learned anything from Mike Williams. And he himself has an offsider, a lackey called Mike Williams. So yeah, you go figure, family. I mean, the sheer effrontery of some of these people who want to have you think that they came up with everything. Listen, I want to tell you something. I have stolen almost all my best material. Now, there are a few things that have come to me. I am really good at joining the dots. They're just not my dots. I don't know how Michael. Now, I describe Michael as being the single most unique thinker that I've ever come across. Now, that doesn't mean others aren't out there. It just means it's the only one I've come across. And I love people who can think, but he joins the dots in the gospel. I join the dots from outside myself, unhappily, I tell you where I get them from. But people like Carlton and Benny Hinn and Kenneth Copeland and the gentleman we're exploring at the moment by the name of Dr. James Richards with 3 degrees from universities that he doesn't want to identify, these people are very fast to say, oh, no, I came up with this idea. Take young Joseph Prince. A year of telephone calls with Mike Williams from the Gospel Revolution, but don't expect him to tell you that now. Don't expect it. It won't happen.
Pat also told me that she had the recording from Andrew Womack's school.
Oh.
The one where Andrew invited me out. I didn't know that it was a setup to give me enough rope to hang myself. I'm a terribly trusting human being. I trust everybody until given reason not to. Rational people do it the other way around. They wait and then trust people. They do it just the opposite of that. That you don't get their trust until they win it. But I do. I think everybody is truthful. I think everybody is. I have no reason to doubt something, so I believe it. So anyway, I'd had several meetings with Andrew, and where he was actually speaking for me, and then Andrew invited me out to his college out in Colorado Springs. I did not know it was a complete setup. Andrew's staff was embracing the gospel like crazy. I mean, almost 100% of his staff, almost without exception. And his school was electrified by the teachings that they had heard from Mike Williams Ministries. And he had invited Gloria Copeland's brother out there to be part of this Actually, it was a ruse. I realized it finally after all was said and done. And he gave me the full session. In fact, it was required that everybody from every department, every student had to be available. And he was absolutely convinced that with the confidence that he gave me, that I could say anything I want. I mean, it was as though I had met the person who trusted me and the gospel that I teach more than anybody else. So I got up and I taught. I can't remember now, but I think it was on two kinds of righteousness. I think if it wasn't that, I may have taught that at Dave DeWell's church, who's a good buddy of Andrew's. And
Dave DeWell.
Yes.
Yep. Yep, I fell down under the Holy Spirit's influence under Dave DeWell. It was his church that I call Reach Out for Cash. They hired me a house, $600 a week and a car, and fired me without paying me a damn cent some 3 or 4 months later.
My goodness.
My job there was, this was a fella called, I can't remember. He became born again in and got his doctorate in theology in prison. He was a bank robber. And he had Dave DeWell over, and I just said, what the heck, let your knees buckle, son, just go down that was about just before I got fired there, and they hired in my place two nightclub singers. I'd have hired them too, frankly. I mean, she was a hot-looking babe.
Just when you think you're irreplaceable, right?
Just when you think it, yeah, Dave DeWell, oh my gosh. And he took over some of these those churches, or he changed some of his churches in North America to call them Reach Out for Christ, I think it is. I call them Reach Out for Cash, but who cares?
I actually remember that going on at the time when I was speaking for Dave DeWell the couple of times that I did. And at both of those churches, the odd thing was that in both of those churches, school and church, the response from the congregation was, it was an unbelievable standing ovation that was thunderous. They could not get them to stop. It just absolutely was yelling and screaming and clapping and clapping and screaming and clapping and standing and cheering. And
did they throw their clothes at you like real pop stars get?
No, none of that. Anyway, that happened at both churches, but the one I'm speaking of is, of course, there at Andrew Womack's. And boy, it all backfired on Andrew because he wanted to give me enough rope to hang myself. And what he did is give me enough freedom to share freedom with those folks.
Wow.
After that, a large number, if not the majority, of Andrew's staff was fired. I talked to at least two of them that were fired and had to move on because he laid down an edict. And he said, if you believe what Mike Williams teaches, you must offer your resignation.
Wow.
So, yeah. Those were crazy days back in those days. Goodness gracious, all of these Word of Faith folks that had come to know who I was and associated with the, you know, the Hagans, the Copelands, the all of this. And, you know, once they heard that Kenneth and Gloria had made my series on grace, required listening for every staff member. Back in those days. In fact, I got a card from Gloria with a check for, I believe it was $400 into my office there in Olney. I never kept these things. I wish I would have. But she told me, she said that they duplicated the tapes without buying them from me. But she said that she wanted to give me the funds that would have cost had they bought them. I thought, you know, that's integrity. You know, that at least they didn't copy my tapes and, you know, not compensate me as if they had bought them. like I said, told me that this was required listening for the entire staff and thanked me and had said that they wanted to have me out to one of their believers conventions, East Coast or West Coast sometime soon.
So you're actually the reason we had to put up with bloody Creflo Dollar. He was a ring in because you wouldn't go, or they wouldn't have you in the end. What was?
Well, it wasn't that I wouldn't go. It was that I never got invited beyond that. So, but man, I tell you what, you know, I was sharing the gospel here with a new person that had never heard, a young man going to church. Actually was our server at one of the restaurants and was leaving for another job. Got started in a conversation. This boy soaked up the gospel, found out he was a member of a church, very dedicated. He came here to my house. We sat here and he asked questions and we talked about the gospel for 2.5 hours. We were on the phone. At the restaurant, if it hadn't been his last night, he'd have lost his job for hanging at the table, asking questions, ignoring almost his other tables. And Barris, when he left here, and I knew it'd be the last time I would see him in at least several months, I told him, I said, now, if there's any way you can walk out of here, being in the position you're in, you've got a church family, you've got friends that are in church, you've got a pastor, your family. I said, this is all going to change. And if there is a way you can walk out of here and forget what you've just heard, I would recommend that you do that. But if what you heard is not something you can forget, you have to understand that your life has changed forever from this point.
100% for telling the truth, but 0 for fundraising.
I know. Yeah. I always err on the side of truth.
Oh, I love this history stuff, mate. Love it to bits. Now, listen, talking about name changes, I want you to tell me about your middle name, because I was kind of slagging off at it, mispronouncing it. I wanted you to tell me why you re-included your middle name again, which is pronounced how?
It is pronounced in Tennessee, Lilborn.
Lilborn. Now, it's written with a few more syllables than that, but it sounds to me like it's when you say, you don't say New Orleans, but you say New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And but the way that the name is actually pronounced is Lilborn, so like with a French twist on it. So it makes no difference to me what people use, and I'm not using it in my daily life. The reason that I added that to everything that I publish is I want people to be able to distinguish my name from the other 100 million other Michael Williams that are online.
Some of whom are porn stars, some of whom are offsiders for Carlton Pearson, some of whom are comedians, lots of them. Michael Williams... What is it about that name?
I'm telling you, it is, there's a lot out there. It's a beautiful name. It rolls off the lips just perfectly. So others have stolen my name over the years, and I don't blame them. You know, it's just really an extraordinarily nice name.
It rolls around the mouth like custard. It's just wonderful. Now, I got I didn't get it. We got it on our Facebook group. Friends of Mike Williams in the Gospel Revolution. Now, if you haven't been there, get there. Just and you need to have a listen to this one. You really do. He put up an interview between Marcel Rose, put up an interview between Sid Roth and Dr. Michael Brown. Now, Dr. Michael Brown sat there telling Sid Roth all about exactly what we discussed with Sid Roth last week. Now, Sid Roth is the man. He's a Jewish gentleman who runs I call them wannabe Jews, but he runs a messianic Christian organization that has a once-a-week broadcast. Have I got that right pretty well, mate?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Now, what he does is he gets people on his show, he gets them to sign over the rights to their product, because they're getting the exposure, and then he makes some money out of the product. As you heard last week from Mike Williams, he boasted to his minister friends that he made more money out of Mike Williams that way than any other person he'd had on the show. But that's another thing. And we went to his website, and as we were talking about this, we noticed that he still has up on that website Norval Hayes' daughter, what's her name?
Zona.
Zona, who made some wonderful claims about how she had stared death in the face several occasions. Death had actually visited her, and she'd had kidney problems, liver problems, heart problems, cancer problems, all kinds of, but she withstood the devil to his face and had never failed yet. Well, we all know now that she died of cancer. And we all know, because we looked it up on his website last week, that Sid Roth still has her on his website because I'm pretty sure it's going to make him money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this interview between Dr. Michael Brown and Sid Roth, you really need to listen to it. It's, I don't know, 40 minutes or something. But young Marcel Rose said, for your information, the most obscene stuff you've ever heard at 12.55, 12 minutes 55 seconds. He even says that we have to cleanse ourselves from our sin. And further on, he says that we are all bound by the Jewish laws. Now, I listened to this and I heard it and I couldn't believe it, because if you want grace, you must obey Jewish laws. And
wow.
And have a listen to this. He says, I cannot relate to a backslider. Now, you can't do what bloody Jesus does, can you, Dr. Michael? You're that damn up yourself, you can't even do what Jesus does. You probably would have stoned the adulterous woman because you cannot relate to a backslider. I've got news for you, Mr. Dr. Michael Brown and Mr. Sid Roth. A little leaven will spoil the whole lump, you said. Well, I'm here to tell you, a little leaven did spoil the whole lump. A little bit of humanity was cut off and circumcised from humanity, if you don't mind. Jesus became sin for us. A little. I just want to turn that leaven spoiling the whole lump on its head.
Yes.
Yeah, a little leaven did spoil the whole lump, you jerk. Excuse me. Did I say that out loud?
I think so.
Bonehead of the day.
I'll ask forgiveness later.
Barris, the thing that is so maddening. I've clicked on Sid Roth several times. In fact, he's been a friend of Glenn Klein's. I'm not sure that they still communicate after Glenn's coming into the gospel. Glenn had a messianic church in Tampa, so he and Sid kind of had some accord that they had between them. And you can have these, and he has these people on who tell these fantastical stories of, one minute, my right arm was missing, and the next minute my right arm was there. I mean, these are drastic testimonies that he has on.
Wouldn't you love to see just one video of that?
And that would be very nice. And always happens. And these people that get on there, they always get miracles. They've never, ever asked God for anything that God didn't do it. But by saying that, you get on any radio or TV program you want. So that's the real reward of saying it, is because everybody's looking for somebody that this actually works for.
Everyone wants a miracle.
And we don't care if you're lying. Just say it. We've got to have somebody. Sid, Sid Roth can't say what his guests say, but he can get his guests to say it. But and then at the same time, to say that there's these wonderful things, which wouldn't it be wonderful if these wonderful things were wonderfully true? But then to turn around by the same person presenting these wonderful hopes for the miraculous that's just off the chain, and he reenacts these stories. He gets actors to reenact the stories. He had one of Norval Hayes in a Cadillac floating around up in the clouds looking down at people. and just smiling, you know, his business suit on, looking down. Well, isn't that neat? People down on planet Earth, and here I am in my Cadillac in the clouds. And so he reenacts all of this stuff. And then to have this stuff on that makes it absolutely clear that you have to keep all of God's laws. You have to keep Jewish law. And the one thing that I know that Sid did not knock down was the statements that the man made. He didn't say, oh, well, now we know that God's gracious, he's kind, you know, the miraculous happens to people that don't keep all the rules. Instead, all of this went to air. And so all of those testimonies that he's had on about the miraculous, including Zona Hayes, which Zona was like a sister to me. I was heartbroken to hear of her death. It was such a mixed bag of emotions, actually. Zona's a year younger than me. And my goodness, I just was, I was blown away, then went on and saw some of the videos of her in her last few months, just emaciated with the cancer. My heart broke for her. My heart broke for Norval. I mean, he lost his only child. I just, you know, he's 90 years old. At 90, he lost his only child. This is painful stuff. Folks, you know, if any of it were true, these folks would have access to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and every other news agency on the planet if these things were true. They're just not. That's the problem. They just are not. This is the way that Sid raises money for his work. He seems to be extremely sold on what he's doing. He sure gets excited. I remember my conversations with him on the phone, and I remember him getting the agreement from me to that he having me on, that I had to provide him with as many tapes as whatever tape he advertised, he wanted them free so that he could sell them and make the funds off of it. And, you know, I didn't think much about it. I honestly didn't think it would. I'd never heard of Sid Roth at the time. But then it was actually Glenn Klein that he told him that he had made more money off selling my tapes that he advertised than any he had had on previous to that. He may have sold more from others since then. I don't know, but that's where the story was at the time.
So much for Sid Roth.
Gospel Revolution.
If you'd been in our Friends of Mike Williams Facebook group, you would have seen me post this week. Stop praying to God. Pray as God.
Now that's a mouthful.
Yeah, but I did steal it. I did steal it, but I didn't acknowledge that I stole it. But I'm acknowledging it now. Am I forgiven?
I don't know. I have to think about this.
Well, pray as God about it, will you? Now, at the end of last week's show, I put a little audio track of Elizabeth Sartouris, The Secret to Human Coexisting, and I was fascinated towards the end how she said, we need to learn that we're one. Now, I got no feedback about that, so I'm just going to pass it over and say, oh, okay, we'll just say the same thing another way today. Gurma Colston this week in Friends of Mike Williams and the GR said, are there any gospel revolutionaries here who have served or are presently serving in the military? Raise your hands. If so, how has the gospel affected your approach to military life? Sean Smith answered that. Now, Sean is an ex-Marine sergeant, so I think he qualifies as able to speak to that, having standing in that area. If there's anything I really like, it's when I see our gospel revolutionaries serving each other. That is in the way Sean Smith did here with Gurma. Now, I'm sure there'll be other answers, and other people may have different opinions. And so I love it, Mike, when I see our GRs reaching out to GRs. Gurma Colston, in this instance, he reached out to other GRs, and Sean Smith, Marine Sergeant, reached back about military life.
That's awesome.
Okay, if you were involved this week on the Gospel Revolution private group, and if you're not, you should be, we had this, and we don't ever identify anyone in this group because that's the reason we have this group.
They're such an unsavory group.
Oh, I wouldn't mix with them. But anyway, somebody said, been loving Mike's teaching on faith and predestination. I like the idea of one's personal faith being done away with. But I was wondering about these verses which speak about people receiving various healings based on their own faith.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 5:34, Luke 17:19, Matthew 8:13, Matthew 15:28, Mark 10:52, Luke 17:9. This could be 3 months worth of podcasts right here. Luke 17:19, Matthew 9:22. Jesus was amazed by some of their faith, the centurion's faith, for example, and people being healed by their faith, etc. Any thoughts? Can I start?
Thou mayest.
There were only two people whose faith amazed Jesus, and neither of them were Jews. One was the woman with the issue of blood.
Samaritan woman, yep.
And the other was a centurion, a Roman man.
Yep.
A Latino. Now, so my first thought is Jesus was amazed by some of their faith, yes, but the some were never Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gospels themselves record the fact that Jesus could not do miracles in certain places because of their unbelief.
Well, one of the things, Barris, in the years that I've studied this and looked through these things that happened, the miraculous, I think that with the way things went down, I think Jesus was trying to communicate to the world what faith, if it existed at all, could do. In other words, this was a way to minimize faith on the most basic level to show that that it'll do something. Obviously, these people's faith was demonstrated in the oddest ways. One of them, Jesus identified as faith, was just simply understanding authority. The other one was understanding that you're an undeserving dog. So
you are an outcast.
All of this, I believe, would have taken place so that the human race could be exposed to what faith could do. Now, the one thing we know that man's faith could not do was bring redemption to this world or to bring salvation. But it was kind of a very natural, very physical, very common level to bring faith down to show and to demonstrate that people could see that faith can accomplish great things. Jesus then went ahead and accomplished the thing that was set on the docket, which was to redeem the world.
Okay, I'm just going through a few of these verses. Mark 5:34. So he says to this girl, and this is the girl that touched the hem of his garment and her hemorrhage dried up immediately. He certainly says to her, your faith has made you whole.
Yes.
Now, we know that in Israel, Jesus made a point of people's faith being neutered by God's pre-existing curse, as we read in John 12. So let's have a look again, Luke 17:19. In this instance, there were 10 lepers that Jesus had spoken to, and he says to them, arise, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Now, as I said earlier, nowhere is faith exemplified or even appreciated as much by Jesus as in those two Gentiles. Now, here we're talking about some Jews. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? These aren't found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Out of the 10, 9 of them couldn't even be bothered to say thank you. Now, he's talking to one of them, not 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
10 of them were healed. Were there not 10 lepers cleansed? But where are the other 9? There are not found those that return to give glory to God except you. This, and have a look at the word. The word is stranger. It's a foreigner. He is not a Jew.
Oh, so still not a Jew.
Still not a Jew. And even if they were all Jews, only one come back. What happened to the other ones? He doesn't say that their faith made them whole. He says that this stranger's, this one person's faith made him whole.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're talking about Gentiles here. Matthew 8 and 13 is our friend's next reference. And here is the story of the centurion's daughter. Well, we have already addressed this. This was not a Jew. This was a Gentile. So now we have 3 Gentiles in a row. Matthew 15:28 is the next reference. And this is a Samaritan woman. Then she, verse 25 of Matthew 15, then she came and said, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it's not proper to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, that's the truth, Lord, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now, this was a Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a Jew. And remember that God had previously cursed the Jews with unbelief. So, and the word in for belief here is pisteo or pistis. So every word, in every example so far, it is the same word that Jesus said God had cursed the Jews from having. Okay, next one, our writer says, is Mark 10:52. Gee, you really do jump across a place. You're making it hard for me. 10:52, crikey dick. This is a story about a blind man who came to Jesus, and Jesus healed him of his blindness. He went back to the church, the synagogue, if you want, and the church threw him out. This takes place in Jericho. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was there, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, you son of David, have mercy on me. There is no indication he was a Jew. This is Jericho we're talking about, which was outside of Judaism. Remember, this was the town that was, the walls were thrown down by the ancient Israelis. And many charged him that he should hold it. Plenty of people said, shut your face. Listen, this is Jesus. This is a big, we have here Jesus coming, and he's a big smoke. Why don't you just shut your face, blind Bartimaeus? And he just yelled out all the more. And he said, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good. Now, these turkeys who said, shut your face, you crippled fool. Now they're saying, oh, be of good comfort. Rise. He calls you. I mean, what kind of hypocrites talk this way? And he, casting away his garment, I guess he threw his clothes off, rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said unto him, what would you have that I should do unto you? The blind man, no indication he's a Jew whatsoever, said unto him, Lord, I want to receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, let me ask you something. How many Jews followed Jesus in the way?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not the religious leaders. This is too much fun. I'm having too much fun. You gotta slow me down here, Mike. The next reference here is Luke 17:19. My friend, when you quote verses, we do respond, and we want to respond honestly. So that's why we're addressing all of the verses you are raising. Luke 17:19 is the same story we covered before, where there was a stranger And in Judaism, a stranger was a non-Jew. Okay, and the last one is Matthew 9:22. And in Matthew 9:22, it's the same story that we read earlier where the woman was a non-Jew.
Which confirms, again, as you said, the understanding that the book of John, what the prophets foretold is that they would, the Jews would be blinded and their ears would be stopped and their understanding, they wouldn't be able to understand.
Well, how do we account for the miracles that did happen amongst the Jews? Or is there any New Testament verse that would give us to understand that the Jews ever got miracles?
I have no clue. I've never looked into this at all. So far, what we've gone through has been amazing to me. That it has at least the verses that are being brought up in another time. And this would be a great research for everybody to do. For a friend that contacted us in our Facebook group, but also all the gospel revolutionaries. So now you got some homework. See if you can find out of all the places where faith was productive in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and produced something. You know, another interesting thing about this, Don, is that this was the phone call one Sunday morning that I got from Joseph Prince. I was at home, happened to not be out teaching that weekend, and a call came in from Singapore, and it was Joseph Prince, and he was reporting to me what he was teaching on Sundays. He did this on a few occasions to ask me if he was doing it right, if he was teaching grace correctly. And he was so excited. He was so excited. And he said, Mike, he said, guess what I told him? Guess what I told him? And if you can just picture Joseph Prince in his excitement, which is entertaining itself.
In his leather jacket.
And as he was telling me this, he said, you guess what I told him? Guess what I told him today? He said, I pointed out the only two people, and I'd never noticed this. Every time I've shared this in my tapes and CDs after that, which I told people that it was Joseph Prince that shared this with me. Now, it's been shared many times after that because, you know, after you give somebody credit, you can't stop and give credit every time you use it, but that definitely has been done. And on more than one occasion, this being one of them, that he said, I told them that the only two people who had great faith were not even Jewish people. And he was so excited about that, that this was a demonstration of God's grace. Because this had nothing to do with the law, that these were not people who, what he said was these people were not given God's law, and they had great faith apart from having been under God's law. In fact, he emphasized to the people that day that you cannot have faith and be under the law at the same time. And at the time, you know, it was like, wow, we had a really good time on the phone. I guess that's one of the things that's a little disappointing about this event having never happened in Joseph Prince's mind is that I so enjoyed these conversations that never took place, I guess.
Oh, wow. The hypocrisy. It's unbelievable. Hey, Jimmy McCollum wrote this week, hello, GRs. What do you find the most important catalyst was that began your journey of unlearning Christianity? And a few people gave some very interesting responses. What's yours, Michael?
There were a lot of things I learned before I think I officially started unlearning. I learned about grace before I started unlearning legalism. I learned about the gospel of peace before I started unlearning anger and wrath.
Are you saying it's a needful thing to have a replacement before you replace something with a vacuum?
I'm not really saying it's needful. I'm just saying this is what happened to me.
Okay.
And so I had learned things, but the unlearning truly and honestly started for me when I understood that the New Testament was not Scripture. That's what gave me the freedom to unlearn Christianity, because Christianity is in the New Testament. And if you're going to unlearn it, you're going to have to find a place to put Second Peter that says that Jesus is coming back in the clouds and going to destroy and consume everybody with the fire of his mouth that don't believe. You're going to have to find some place to put 1 John 1:9. You know, confess all your sins. You're going to have to find some place to put James. Faith without works is dead. So you can't unlearn Christianity until you learn the New Testament is not Scripture. It is not possible to unlearn Christianity until you know and accept what Jesus and all of the writers of the New Testament agreed upon as being Scripture, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. That's when the true unlearning, that's when I was able to take things and throw them off of me completely, that otherwise I would not have had the ability to leave them behind. They would have stayed and haunted me. Well, what does this mean? Well, where does it fit? You know, when I was speaking with the young man that was our server at the restaurant that I spoke about, and he sat here with me for 2.5 hours at my home here at this very table, and he asked me about James and was articulating how that, you know, now how do you resolve James and Paul in this teaching about faith and works? And he said, was that just James giving a clearer understanding of faith? And I remembered so much being there. And it's like, I want to tell this boy what he needs to know. How do I do it gently? And you know what I found out? There's no way to say it gently.
Mm. I think that's a question all of our listeners should ask themselves. Is there any way, actually, you can
soften the blow,
yeah,
cushion,
yeah,
couch the statement, you know, whatever you want to call it.
I just never thought of it until you said it.
Well, there's just not a way. And I asked him, I said, are you, I said, okay. I says, I'm going to tell you, but are you ready for my answer? And he said, I'm ready. I said, James disagreed with Paul. Now, that for a 23-year-old young man who has been faithfully attending church is what I've been accused of all these years. That was a bomb. I dropped a bomb right in the middle of everything. And so then I had to take just a couple of minutes to substantiate that they did disagree. And I pointed out Acts 15. I pointed out Acts 21. And I also pointed out to him that Paul withstood Peter to the face. I said, you can't say that there wasn't disagreement when disagreement is stated, so don't be so surprised. So that's really where it began for me, Barris, was really understanding the Scriptures. Oh, what a freedom. The one thing you can never go wrong with is relying on what's between Genesis and Malachi to check out what the New Testament says to see whether or not it is accurate or not. The story about Abraham, take Paul's story and then take James's story, read them, and then you go read the account in the Scriptures. You will find Paul's account is in the Scriptures. You'll find that James's account is not in the Scriptures. It's just not there.
And remember, if you have any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside of the USA, the number is whatever your international dialing code is, followed by 1-234-564-0971. We have a summer pledge drive coming up. When's that start, mate?
I don't have a clue.
I guess in summer. Okay. Now, you have a new series available, and we're hammering this because it's it might be the best thing that we've ever done. In my thoughts, it's a watershed moment for the Gospel Revolution. It's Mike Williams' new series from the recent Gospel Revolution End of Spring Conference in Calgary. And in that series, Mike tackles the word predestination in the light of the Gospel as opposed to traditional Christian theology. Find out who was predestined, when, and find out what roles faith and hope play in predestination, and whose faith and whose hope they were. This series is available for download now at gospelrevolution.com for nothing. Nothing. Mm-hmm. It's free. It used to be $11.99, and Jeff, can you change that price? Can you just make it a free download? I know you can do it. Just do it. There is no reason for anybody to have any problems with the understanding of predestination. None. There is no reason mm-hmm. for anyone to mistake the fact that predestination included certain people on certain conditions. There is no reason to be confused by Arminianism, by Calvinism, by Roman Catholicism. There is no reason to be. Listen, this is free. It's not going to cost you anything. All you got to do is tell us you're too poor to pay the $11.99. That's all you got to do. And frankly, we're suckers for anyone who wants to hear the truth.
Yeah. In fact, you don't have to tell us anything. Just tell us you want it free. We're not picky. We want you to hear this. One of the reasons that I also want to offer it free is because I know a religious mindset. There are people, Barris, that would like to, that would say, you know, I've always wondered about predestination. I'd like to hear what others say about predestination, because I know my pastor has never given me a satisfactory answer. I've never found a satisfactory answer in a book. But I know that this ministry called Mike Williams Ministries and Gospel Revolution, I know some things about Mike Williams, and I know this ministry is of the devil. So I don't want to give them $11 for it. Well, see, you don't even have to feel like you're supporting something that you totally disagree with to actually listen to what we got to say on this subject. You don't even have to have that excuse whatsoever. Just you can walk right around it, do the download. You've not given us any money whatsoever. I've had people in marriages tell me that their wife or their husband forbids them to contribute money to the Gospel Revolution, although they'd love to, because they think that their very soul would be at stake. Their family would be at stake if they make a contribution to the Gospel Revolution. They have been told these things from pulpits and warned. It is just, folks, it's amazing what we are up against. But we also know what we have on our side, and it's called truth. It's called the gospel. Like Bear said, you know, if you're confused, there's no need in being confused by Arminianism, Calvinism, or Catholicism, or any of them, because there's nothing confusing about predestination. Barris, I've told you this before several weeks ago. Every day now, I've noticed we get orders in for this series still, and they're coming in every single day. If there's a day that's missed, I've not noticed it. Mm. But so this I'm excited about. I would say, if I were to describe this series for me, I would describe it in this way. Those of you that have heard me teach over these period of years, some of you have been listening more than 30 years, 35 years and longer. This series is the culmination of everything I understand about the gospel. It really is. It is the culmination of everything I understand about the gospel. I think it is the strongest evidence in favor of the gospel of grace and the gospel of peace that we teach. Wow. And it is the subject of predestination.
Wow. And let me just finish that off by saying, you want to know if hell's real? You want to know if babies go to heaven? You want to know if baptism saves you? Do you want to know what saves you? Do you want to know what sins will keep you out of heaven? Do you want to know what sins will break your fellowship with God? Do you want to know how you can be certain that fellowship between you and God will never, ever be broken again? Just ask us for the series. And I'm telling you right now, you'll never, I promise you, you'll never. Listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you $100 if you ever have questions about that again. I'll give you $100 out of my own pocket. And that's a serious, I don't make that offer lightly. I want you to hear this. It's going to cost you nothing and could get you $100. Just think about that. Just think about that.
Good stuff.
If you're a Facebook follower and you want to hang out with us, then hit the search bar in Facebook and search Friends of Mike Williams and the Gospel Revolution. If you want your questions and remarks to not be seen by anyone outside a secret private group, then write in the Facebook search bar these words, Gospel Revolution Private Group, and ask to join. No one gets knocked back, I promise you. This group also sprang out of the need to have a group where concepts of a slightly more controversial nature could be raised. This is a group where Mike Turi said, we don't give God glory. We are God's glory.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right, mate, I think it's the letter time.
Dum, da-dum, dum.
My pastor, he wrote me a letter. Well, he wrote me a letter saying Mike Williams was a piece of trash.
Realized.
Hang on. I haven't finished my song. Can I finish my song?
And
I want to be the pastor who gets all the cash. Okay, now you can talk.
I just realized that Jim Richards, for a short period of time, was my pastor. In fact, I forgot about that.
You've had several pastors. One of them's dead. One of them is dying, Norval Hayes. I mean, at 90 plus, you can't be anything but dying.
Norval would have never been in the position that I was said he was my pastor.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. No, you don't have several pastors at a time. You just have one.
Oh, okay.
No, Dr. David Benson was my pastor during all of that time.
Well, now, was he a shepherd or was he a sheepdog?
He was a pediatrician.
Come on. You're trying to get out of it now. The word pastor in the New Testament means shepherd.
Yep, sure does.
All I see is sheepdogs, and I come from a sheep-loving nation, and I know what a shepherd is, and I know what a sheep... Sheep will follow a shepherd, but sheepdogs, they chase the sheep.
Well, I can tell you there was one thing that my pastor pediatrician instructed me to do, and the congregation. We were very close friends, though. We visited each other's homes and things like that. Talked over things pertaining to the church between he and I a lot. I think probably more than others. I'm not sure about that. I just know that we had a lot of conversations about it and about ministry. But one thing that he taught was corporal punishment. So he taught me to spank my little girls. And he had a wooden paddle that was... like half inch thick. The paddle was at least 10 to 12 inches long with a handle on it. And it's probably, a board that was about 3 to 4 inches wide. And I remember, I stopped and thought exactly how old my little girls were. Now, people say that, they have no regrets. I do have one, and that is following my pastor's instructions about corporal punishment for my little girls. I cringe at the thought of it.
If a pastor told me that I had to spank my kids, I would think of him more as a sheepdog, you know, the one that nips the heels of the sheep rather than the one that leads them. Am I wrong?
Well, this was the instruction that I was given. And like I said, I was trying to think about how young they were. And I remember distinctly him telling me. Now, our little girls all potty trained very early, very, very early. They were under or around 2 years old by the time they were potty trained and out of diapers. And this is what he told me. He said, now I bought a paddle. I took it to his house and had it approved.
Where do you buy a paddle?
You could buy them in stores back then. You could go to Cracker Barrel and buy a paddle.
And you took it to him for approval?
I did. I took it to him.
Mike Williams, you are very quickly losing any respect I had for you.
Yeah, in this, you should, actually.
I'll tell you what, because I made my paddle. I didn't buy it.
So, well, believe me, I would have never made anything. So, so anyway, it met with his approval, and I asked him about doing this, and I remember this was his comment to me directly. He said, and Mike, and he kind of gritted his teeth a little bit, and his eyes went kind of beady, and he gritted his teeth toward me, and he said,
think of what you're describing. This is one. Keep going.
And take that diaper off and make it hurt.
Oh, God help us.
I've apologized to my children for this. I had strict rules as to how this would be administered. Never more than three licks. I'm a big man, though. There is no way in the world that a man over 6 feet five can know what a paddle in his hand feels like on the bottom of a baby. Oh, this is just one of the things, referring back, walking out of Christianity, this is one of the things, thank God I walked out of. Thank God I was able to put it in a place where that I understood that, that, you know, and the thing was that we believed that children were born in sin, and we had basically...
Say that again. I know that some people have just, they glossed over that.
We were taught that children are, we were all born in sin, and they had the devil. They were partly seed of the devil. And that we had the opportunity from age zero up to they turned 13 to basically to beat the devil out of them.
Or else?
The consequences were hell. So if you didn't do it, you hated your child. Gosh, I know one of the young girls in our that was a personal friend of my daughter's, their father was a friend of mine. And I know she was horribly, horribly beaten and abused. Nobody spoke up about that. Nobody did anything about that. Nobody approached him for the wounds, the bruises that showed up on this child. And how many others it happened to, I don't know. Like I said, I asked my children's forgiveness many years ago for that. And I doubt very seriously that Dr. Benson's view on this has ever changed. Maybe it did. Mine certainly did. The thing that compounded it, though, was the fact that he was not only our pastor, he was our pediatrician.
That is a child doctor, right?
Yes, of my children.
Now, this sounds like Alexa Myers, one of our friends from Florida. She grew up under a very patristic, a screwed up religion. Actually, you got to have as many kids as you can possibly have. Doesn't matter how much calcium it leaks from your bones. You've got to treat them with the as arrows in your quiver. You have to, and by gosh, you have to spank them. Sounds like a very similar guy. But anyway.
Yeah, actually, my pastor learned under this same man who Alexa Meyer was under. He was a big fan of his.
And that guy who we're talking about got drummed out of his own organization. His board couldn't even deal with his mental aberrations and his sexual aberrations. If you haven't heard Alexa Myers, go back through our podcast archives. You'll find her.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, do you think we got time for a bit of this letter by...
Let's do a little bit of it, sure.
Dr. Jimmy writes, they, that would be you and me and everyone who doesn't agree with him, they think that having this new information is freedom. He's talking about grace teaching. But they have actually become Gnostic in their approach to God. Now, I didn't deal with that awfully comprehensively last week, but Gnosticism was a very early contender within Christianity that the Catholic Church deposed. Now, you'll say, no, it wasn't the Catholic Church. Well, it was whatever turned into the Catholic Church deposed it. And the thing about Gnosticism, gnosis, gnostic, gnosis, knowledge is the English word we get from it. They believed that there was some secret esoteric knowledge that some people needed if they really wanted to move up through the levels of divinity. One of their great gods was Sophos, the Greek word from which we get the word sophistry or sophisticated. And when you think about sophisticated, sophisticated itself is, I'm a little bit better than you. I can't tell you how. I mean, if you had it, you'd know it. And that was a little bit like what Gnosticism was. Belief, he says, in the heart is substituted with intellectualism. So what he's saying is that Gnosticism is intellectualism. No, it was never intellectualism, unless you call intellectualism a lack of logic.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, belief in the heart is substituted with intellectualism and the abundance of deep revelations. Oh, heavy, heavy. They love to astound the listener by their great revelations. That's you, mate, you bomb dropper, you. However, like all intellectual concepts, they will soon lose that feeling and need their itching ears tickled by even more extreme philosophies. Now, I just want to make the point here that logic and intellectualism are not the same thing. Logic is a series of facts leading to a conclusion. Intellectualism is, let's try and confuse you with how smart we are. And that is what Gnosticism is. Now, this man totally confuses the two, but that's okay. He's got three doctorates and I've got none. And he's got three doctorates from a university that none of us really actually know. He says, however, like all intellectual concepts, they will soon lose that feeling and need their itching ears. You see how he uses New Testament phraseology in order to convince his people that he knows what he's talking about. To have their itching ears tickled by even more extreme philosophies. Thus, they will seek new, deeper revelations, abandoning the obvious reality of the gospel for that which impresses the ignorant listener and stimulates the eager. And I'm just going to start it off this way. Deeper revelations? Really, Dr. James? What do you call a word of knowledge? What do you call a prophecy in your congregation if it's not deep revelations?
Yeah, you know, and I think this is the most perplexing thing to me is that what Jim and others promote is that logic is an enemy to faith. They promote that logic is an enemy of faith.
So when God says in Isaiah, he says, come, let us reason together.
I don't know what they do with that, but we know they have clearly made the statements that logic and faith, you can't rely on logic, you have to go by faith.
Can I interrupt?
You already did.
Well, I saw something on the web the other day, and it said, they call it faith because there's no logic involved.
Yeah, and this is the thing that we've got to deal with here is, number one, I have never claimed to have a revelation about anything about the gospel. Now, we used to get heavy revies, DRs, divine revelations, all of those things, you know, hey, I got a revelation. I haven't had a revelation in 30 years, and I'm very thankful that I've had no revelations. What I've had is understanding something in context, just simply reading it. It's not a revelation. It's not a, you know, something that I got in the middle of the night or something that there's been no handwriting on the wall. There's been no supernatural intervention into my life to show me something. Have never claimed it. I don't claim it. I used to claim it back in my Word Faith days. But that's not what the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries is based on. It's not based on a revelation. It's based on reading. It's called context. And such as, which he goes into later here about, just like the subject of predestination. I didn't get a revelation about predestination. I read the text.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing in there. There's no evidence of Calvinism or Arminianism or Catholicism's views of this subject in text. There's just none there. All we did is read it. I do not claim a revelation, a deep revelation, a shallow revelation of this subject of predestination.
That's good. So
I read.
So if you can have a deep revelation, I imagine you can have a shallow revelation.
I suppose you could have a shallow one, you know.
And if you did have a shallow revelation, who knows to whom that might apply? Everything Jesus and the apostles taught, the writer says, says the Word, the Spirit, the truth, and yes, grace should bring forth fruit in our life. Now, it'd be nice if he had it. A Bible verse to support that, but no. Let's read on. The person relating to God through their ego-driven mind, that'd be you, Michael, probably me, and every other GR, through their ego-driven mind measures spirituality by an abstract depth of knowledge and revelation. What the? Of knowledge and revelation. I'm going to have to beep out a few words here, but what the f*** does that mean? The person, let me read it again. The person relating to God through the ego-driven mind measures spirituality by an abstract, well, once you call it abstract, it could be any bloody thing, by an abstract depth of knowledge. What is an abstract depth? What is it? Is it 2 feet down or is it 10 feet of knowledge and revelation? What the hell is he talking about, mate?
Well, and then also the comment about they will soon lose that feeling. Now, there's nothing that describes Christianity better than this. They all lose that feeling.
Yeah, but you've lost that feeling.
Yes, I did lose that feeling a quarter of a century ago. But I lost not only the elations, I lost all of the negative feelings.
When you go to bed, and you're saying to yourself, oh, gosh, is God holding that sin against me? Do I have fellowship with him? Should I? Is that what you're talking about?
That and so much more, that all of that is gone. I don't have discouragement. I don't have those in-church experiences anymore, that's for sure, working up to the crescendo of the presence of God being there. I don't experience that, and I don't have any need for it.
Yeah, but that's because you don't go to church anymore.
I was going to say that's one good reason why I don't. In fact, I think if I did go, I still wouldn't have that experience. It'd probably be just the opposite to that. But this itching ears, tickled, you know, and again, it's like you say, Jim has stitched together some superficial phraseology here with a smattering of Bible terminology simply to disqualify. I know that there's Gnostics. I know that Gnosticism still exists today. But I would rather study Gnosticism and find out what it actually says than using it as a place to dump everybody that disagrees with me and label them so that we can categorize them, label them, and dismiss them. When you have people that insist on labeling you, it is usually for the process of being dismissed and made irrelevant. But we're not going to be dismissed. We're not going to be made irrelevant. Just because there's a word that is another attempt to classify the gospel as something that it's not is used.
I remember Dr. Stanley out of Florida, and he said something like, most Christians chew on the bread of life so that they can spit it out in the faces of people who disagree with them. I suspect that may be a revelation he got, a deep revelation, you know, a very deep revelation he got. Now, Paul warned, the writer says, knowledge puffs up, love builds up. Okay, so in this letter, what are you seeing more of? Somebody's knowledge or somebody's love? I mean, do we really have to go any further there?
Yeah.
In John 7:17, Jesus said, if anyone wants to do God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. In other words, the only way to know if our doctrine is truth is when we will or intend to put it into application in our life. Now, I just read that verse. I took the option to read that verse, and apparently it doesn't say that.
No, it sure doesn't.
So we can make anything mean anything when you want anything to be anything. What we believe cannot be seen in our swelling words, Jude 16, 2 Peter 2:18, or our mystical abstract spirituality. See, once you start labeling other people as being abstract, suddenly then you don't need to use logic, because what the heck, they're abstract. You can't use logic against abstract. And he continues, and certainly not through our declaration of revelation so deep they depart from the word of God. Well, how do you know? You in your own church, Dr. James, with 3 doctorates from universities we've never heard of, you in your own church used to abound in words of knowledge and prophecies. What would you call that except a declaration of revelation so deep that sometimes you had to actually come out against them, and sometimes you had to agree with them depending on how you felt at the time? They depart, he says, from the word of God. In fact, Jesus himself said we could only know a person by their fruits. Oh, here we are back at this old same thing. No, Jesus never said that. You're a liar, Dr. James. Let me say it again. You are a frigging liar. Jesus never said we could only know a person by their fruits. He said we could only know a false prophet by their fruits. If you're going to say something, at least be honest. At least speak the truth. At least help me here, Mike. Get me out of this.
We've already discussed it. This is not talking about people. And this is classic throughout Christianity and throughout Jim's teaching here is, basically I have my response. I see your verse and I raise you a chapter. These are all verses out of context. That's just proof texting, grabbing a verse from here, a verse from there.
I wish you had 3 doctorates, then you could do the same thing.
All this is just out of context, and I would rather read a full chapter, 2 chapters, a whole book any day than take and try to apply understanding of the Bible, the scriptures, Shakespeare, whoever, rather than taking just single lines out of things to try to prove your point. Most things written were not written to have single lines taken out of it to bring definition to the entire body of work. I don't know of anything that was written that way. If you do take lines out of context, out of Shakespeare, a news article, or whatever, you can make it say anything that you want to. And basically, that's what we have here. We have nothing more than that. We have nothing less than that, than somebody who, after 20 years, sees that we are becoming so successful with the gospel revolution that another desperate attempt is being made to try to derail. All of these attempts, whether from Jim, and we could go down a list of people, I'm not going to do it now, but we certainly have a very long list of people with voices that are heard around the planet that have spoken up against the gospel, Mike Williams Ministries and the gospel revolution, and they have all failed. Every single one of them have failed. In fact, with each and every opposition that has been brought against, public opposition, we have gained people who now understand the gospel. So, I have to tell you, one of the reasons we're going into this is because we've seen the fruit. We don't want this letter to become obscured. We want people to hear it, because it so well describes Christianity as compared to the gospel of grace and peace, that we want you to hear this because it makes our argument for the gospel absolutely easy.
If you want any of our hundreds of free products, go to gospelrevolution.com, where we have over 2,500 hours of free material, teachings, podcasts available. While in the store, you will find the cheapest seminar teachings you're ever liable to find anywhere on the planet. I mean, this one that we've mentioned today, the Predestination by Mike Williams, it's free. It's not the price that you'd pay from Dr. Jim Richards. It's not the price you'll pay from Sid Roth. It's not the price you'll pay from any other person on the internet. I'm telling you, it's dead set free. If you need a fast injection of gospel CPR, that is the consistent, persistent, repetitive joy of the gospel, then tune into Gospel Revolution Radio, playing 27 hours a day, 7 days a week, thanks to Marcel Roos in the Netherlands. Forums, articles, seminars, radio, video, Facebook, look, we've got it all for you, just for you. www.gospelrevolution.com. Now, while you're there, watch some of Jeff Robertson's videos. This week he had a wonderful, wonderful video, and I'm not even going to tell you what it was. It was there, and if you don't hear it, you're losing out. So it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Religion, remember, wants to downsize your expectations, outsource your thinking, and repurpose your existence. God's eternal plan was just to enjoy the heck out of you and all of your uniqueness. Go to any of our podcasts, listen to the books that we recommend. We recommend a number of books, none above Mike Williams' one. But we have several out there because we don't care if we get paid for it. We care whether you get truth. Just remember, we run a value for value model here, and it costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this free information. This value for value model is the only way we feel we can present the gospel freely and unhindered. So if you feel you've received a real value from this podcast, I'm asking you to seriously consider sticking your hand in your pocket. Donate towards it. Why don't you call area code 321-220-4373 and speak to Jeff Robertson about how you can participate. Or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate link. And remember that cash is not the only way that we're asking you to help. You can support the gospel in anything you can do, any gift you have, any skill you have that might help other people just like you starting their own journey towards thinking for themselves. If you've got any questions, feel free to record them on United States area code 234-564-0971. For outside the United States, the number is 123-456-4-0-9-7-1. Perhaps you would like to invite Mike to your area. I'd advise against it. All it can do is create problems. But if you want to, it's easier than you might think. Call our office on the number we just mentioned with details, when, where, and why, and we will make it happen. So now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett. That would be Donald Allen Beresford Bartlett. In the GR Studios right here in Eva, Alabama.
And it's good night from Mike Williams right here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida, where it is raining again. My goodness. Thank you guys for listening in. We love you a lot. We'll be giving you more information about upcoming events, including the Summer Pledge Drive, which I'm sure is going to fall sometimes during the summer. And also, we're getting ready for our Canada conference also.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast, but if you didn't, remember, just because you're offended does not mean you're right. So if you prefer learning how to think to being told what to think, then join us next week, same time, same channel, where we're going to do the same thing all over again.
Better.